Do you?
Do you, oh.
Ayo.
Ayo.
Ayo, let's go.
Making sure we got the right mics.
I hope so.
Okay.
That would suck.
I would suck.
Nah, I don't feel like pulling out my other one. I've been lazy. I just don't do it. I'm just like, eh, whatever.
Fair.
So, Coda.
Yes, Coda.
Coda was a thing that happened.
Coda was almost the Goda.
It was almost. Until we got that caution with 10 to go.
Yeah.
I was screaming. I was so pissed. I was like, no, we're so close. No.
As weird as it sounds, I almost stopped watching it after that. And I, even though I knew who the winner was, I was like, I just gotta watch because I gotta see how he won. And then it was just... It was just what it was, you know?
Yeah. I was like, oh my god. It was just like unbelievable. But of course, you know. It always has to happen with the NASCAR races and stuff
oh,
like
yeah.
that.
Oh yeah.
Start. It was because like it starts out, you know, with the crash on lap one. I'm yeah. like, oh, here we go. Oh boy. And poor Jimmy. Just like
got, yeah, poor Jimmy.
Just got freaking Ty Dillon. Just like, oh man, come on.
I hope he does it next year. Jimmy does like this race.
Yeah,
but yeah, that's literally made it like four turns, and then it was like his day was over. I'm like, no, Jimmy, no.
Yeah, I was a little upset.
Yeah, and then Brad spit it through the grass. I'm like, what the fuck? You gotta poop again, Brad?
So that was fun. One, the first like stage was kind of like chaotic. I'm like, what the fuck, Jesus? And you had somebody like cutting the course penalties too.
I'm yeah,
like, is NASCAR like F1 stewards now? Like, what are we doing? I'm glad Joey Logano got one though. I was like, yeah, you better get the first one, buddy. There's so many, like, Corey got one. Like, I was writing them down, and I'm like, god damn, it's like half the fucking field. It was like, yeah. Corey got one, Hamlin got one, I know Logano got one. I think Priest got one as well. I don't know, it's probably half the drivers got a cutting the course penalty. So I was kind of surprised they were calling that. I'm like, oh, wow, look at them. Actually calling stuff on road courses. Who is NASCAR? Who are they? Who are these people?
Who is NASCAR?
Who are... I am NASCAR.
I am NASCAR.
Yeah. Then we'll get that, or no, it'll be, I am 75 NASCAR. You know, for the 75th anniversary.
Yeah.
It is my 75th birthday, because I am NASCAR.
It is my 75th birthday because I am NASCAR.
I am NASCAR. And then they're going to have, like, a picture of Jimmy celebrating or something.
Yeah.
Be like, I am NASCAR.
So.
Probably would, to be honest.
It'd be like Jimmy, and then we got to get the Dale Sr. photo. And then obviously the Junior fucking 2014 Daytona photo. And then, they'll probably do a current... They'll probably do, like, fucking Kyle Busch. And then maybe a Reddick. No, Chase Elliott. You know, in the cast.
Yeah. It'd
be, like, 75th birthday.
75th.
Let's see. Chase would just come out with, like, his cast on and, like, just rip it off.
You know, just get, like, a button for gas. Just, like, gas. Guess, guess, guess.
Guess, guess, guess. He could just use his thigh. Just like, have something that kind of hits his thigh, and when he wants to hit gas, he just pushes his thigh down.
Well, in this scenario, in my head, Chase, like, actually cuts off his leg.
Oh, so, like, okay.
So, like, he just...
There you go.
How did we get here?
It's a great question. How do we always get here?
I don't know. And we're doing this early, too. If you guys want to know, this is actually March 29th at 1:16 p.m. Eastern. Usually we do this at night, but me and Brian are both off, and we were bored. So we're like, let's record a podcast at 1 o'clock. So, like, when you guys are at your job place or taking your lunch break, or taking a shit because you don't want to do any more work because you're lazy, we're recording a podcast, so, you know.
Yeah.
Get on our level.
Yeah, we're get on our level.
We're talking about stage one. Like, Brian finished the race this morning. That's how engaged we are. It's fresh in our minds. You forgot all the events that happened Sunday? We didn't, because we watched it literally 1 hour ago.
Yeah, we got it fresh.
Fresh in our mind, with no audio, because you gotta love NASCAR's YouTube,
yeah. Which they didn't fix until this morning.
Yeah, which Brian watched on mute because, you know, he wanted to make his own commentary.
Yeah.
Yeah, Brian.
I used ChatGPT and put Kurt's voice in there, and then Gunther's voice, and just had them talking back and forth that way.
That would still be better than Clint Boyer or anything he has brought to the team. I thought of the ultimate dream booth, which is really a nightmare. It would be Clint Boyer, Jeff Gordon, and Danica.
Danica. Oh, gosh. I knew that was coming.
It's, you know what track? It's such a trash track, too.
Well, there's a couple of them.
Just name a few. I'll see if you're right.
I mean, first to come to mind was Michigan, but it's not Michigan.
No.
It's
not Texas either, even though that's pretty doo-doo.
Dang. What track is it?
It would be the Summer Richmond race.
Oh, my. Okay.
Just specifically, like, playoff scenario and, like, fucking gas mileage. Could you imagine those fucking three in that? Clint Boyer as lead commentator.
It would be very dull.
And then
to say the least.
We gotta get a call-in guest. It's not gonna be Chase Elliott from, like, his cage that they had. We gotta get someone ridiculous as well.
Joey Logano, while he's in the car.
Travis Pastrana, to talk about the NASCAR next-gen car.
There you go.
He's only raced at a super speedway, but we're going to have the expert, Travis Pastrana. Or no, we
best
should...
One waited.
Can we have Gunther in the booth? Oh my god.
Just Gunther. just a booth full of, like, three Gunthers.
No, just Gunther and Gene.
Oh no.
Gunther, Gene, and Tony.
Gene, your car sucks, Gene.
You know, has... I wonder what's the last time fucking Gene and Tony's been in the same room. Like, do they even talk about the NASCAR? Does results just happen and they're like, okay.
Yeah, they just call each other after the race and they're like, yeah, I don't feel like really talking to you in real life.
They're just...
Let's just talk over the phone.
They just call Harvick. They're like, hey, what happened? Where'd you finish? And he's like, 13th. And they're like, okay. And then they just hang up.
No, they go, where did everybody else finish?
No,
not last. Good job.
They don't even care. They're just they're like, hey, did that Smithfield check clear? Yep, cool. They don't, like, Almirola could literally finish dead last every race. They're like, hey, is that Smithfield money still coming in? Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can finish forever. It's all good. They literally give them the parts car, actually. They're just like, yeah, we're saving money. You know, we don't care.
I'm saving.
They give him one good car a year, and that's when he wins. He gets that one win. They're like, all right, you're in the playoffs. We gave you the one Harvick car. Now no more for you, mister.
What if that was actually true?
That would be hilarious.
But then wouldn't you want to give Almirola the better car because he's winning with the one Harvick car?
Well, no. You gotta give the Harvick car. No, well, he also gets the Harvick Briscoe car. So, like, it's like the ultimate machine. So it's like Harvick gets the, you know, most of the good car, and then Briscoe gets the rest. And then Priest is just a Haas billboard car, and then Smithfield money, who gives the money towards the Harvick and Briscoe car. That's how SHR works right there.
Nice.
So Priest and Almirola are battling it out for the shit cars. Priest is just a
last
billboard.
Priest and Haas.
Priest is just a billboard car. It's like, yeah, that's all you get.
They're like, just drive. Just don't crash. We just want our name out there.
They're like, yeah. And then, you know, when they crash, Gene, or Gunther just calling Gene. He's like, Jane, your car crashed. Jane, your billboard died.
Jane, your billboard died.
Again, we were talking about stage one, and then now we're talking about the things of SHR.
Yeah, it's great.
Did Tony sell his house yet? Let's see. He did not, unfortunately. Oh, poor Tony. He's got to need some more Smithfield money, man.
Smithfield money is going to come from his house?
Yeah. Or his drag racing career when he wins the Gator National. Or that already happened, didn't it?
I think so. Because yeah. Wasn't that what Newman went to? Not participated in, but he went to it.
Probably.
He's like, yeah, watching my guy.
I don't know. Is Tony his guy?
I don't know.
I don't think they're friends. Just see.
No,
like,
it was somebody else. I don't know who it was.
Oh, I was gonna say I just see Newman like living in like the woods, and just like coming out every so often for like a modified race, and that's about it.
He probably would too.
Like he doesn't.
I wouldn't put it past him.
Like he doesn't talk. He just goes races, and then they're like, "When are you gonna race next?" And then he just like walks away. Just shuttles away. Like, peace. Anyway, stage one, Coda. Instead of Ryan Newman's personal life.
Well, what we think is Ryan Newman's personal life.
No, we know what Ryan Newman's personal life is.
Okay.
He actually like, tends the lake of Tony's $30 million house. He's the lake tender.
He's always tubing.
That's how he gets paid.
Nice.
This Tony's a gardener and lake make sure that the lake is good. I don't know. Lake tender. I don't know what do they call
it? Did
that?
You say tender?
I don't know.
Make sure the lake is tender.
I don't know. I'm all off cuz it's 1:30. Okay, man. It's a weird time.
I don't know about you, but I don't usually make sure that my lake is tender before I hop in.
Well, no, he's got to make sure, you know, because until Tony jumps in, it's like,
oh, okay,
man,
okay.
He gives a little like dip of the toe, or like, man,
he's got to make sure that it's tender with his toe.
Who the fuck listens to this? Why? Why do you listen to this every week? This is straight trash. We're talking about Tony's lake for like 50th time, probably. Anyhow.
At least.
Stage one, Coda. Oh yeah, I forgot about, I told you about the Mike Joy F1 parody joke. Which,
yeah.
Wow, that was pretty good. So if you didn't have any audio, I think it was like a Chevy, Ford, and Toyota, like leading up like top three or whatever. And Mike Joy's like, Gunther, you don't see that in F1. I just love like every like 10 laps, they obviously got like a thing in their earpiece, like, talk to Gunther, please. And then they're like, all right.
Everybody was so excited for him, and he's just not talking.
They're like, what do we say to him? And they're just like, ask him anything. So then there'd just be random points in the race where then Clint Boyer's like, Gunther, you want Mike Waltrip's Jeep? Do you want to buy his Jeep, Gunther? This is a new thing for you, because you don't have to worry about fuel in F1, right? You guys don't have to worry about fuel.
Nope, we run off of completely electric engines.
It's like fuel strategy.
No, I know.
Yeah, so it's just like...
And I kind of figured that's what he was talking about, but it's just funny to me the way that you could interpret that.
It was just so funny. It's like... It was so awkward at times, too, because then they would throw it to Chase in his, like, cage or wherever he was put, like, in the Hendrick cage. It was literally a cage. Like, it looks so weird. I'm like, where the fuck is he? Like, it was, like, fucking something gated behind him or, like, a fence or something. I'm like, what is behind him? It was, like, the weirdest thing, and they're just like, oh, Chase, what do you think about that? And then it would take him, like, 12 seconds for his fucking delayed internet in his cage, his shit. Wow, shocking. And he's like, it was just like, this is so bad. So
Hendrick doesn't pay for Chase's internet to be good? What?
Well,
what
I mean,
the golden boy?
Well, when he's locked in the cage underneath, like, under the fucking ground on the Hendrick premises, you know, the internet's gonna be shit. It's not as fast as Xfinity 10G. No, they don't get
Thanks
that.
Thanks for the sponsor, Xfinity.
They don't get that 10G anymore because they, you know, not a sponsor in the Cup Series, only for
the Xfinity Series.
I almost said Nationwide Series. I'm like, oh my god,
the Nationwide Series.
Be such a boomer. Everyone's like, what? But yeah. And then, so
I lost where we're at.
We're talking about
We're still on stage one somewhere.
Yeah, somewhere. So after Mike Joy's LOL parody, F1 parody joke, then Bubba came piling in to Kyle Larson. Looked like something broke on his car, like a tow link, or then some oil came out of it, like his oil line broke. So he couldn't really stop, and then just, like, piled into Larson. So, end of his day, unfortunate, because it looked like, you know, he had actual speed on a road course as well, you know, trying to get better. And you saw his teammate was so fast, so... Looked like Bubba could have had a pretty good day at the road course, but fortunately ended early. Then he said, like, after, like, in his interview that he should get replaced. And I'm like, what are you even talking about? Like, something broke in the car. And he's just, like, super down on himself and stuff like that. So, it's kind of, it sucked to see. Because, you know, you're like, there's nothing really you can do. You know, stuff happens and... shit like that, but he was just super down on himself, and it kind of sucked to see. So that was unfortunate. Just still super down on himself, and just kind of like, you know, doesn't think he has it and shit like that. Because I think he's a pretty solid driver. Like, he's pretty decent. It just sucks with this. Yeah. Like, it always seems like he kind of has, like, a slow start to the season that's, like, ends strong. So I was hoping maybe this season that he kind of flipped the switch and maybe start a little bit better. But it's not seeming like it so far, but there's a lot more races to go. So see what happens. But kind of unfortunate for Bubba and that team to end early. And then at the almost to the end of the stage, Cody were spun up by himself. So good job, Cody. Great job out there.
Expect anything different, to be fair.
No, didn't at all.
Yeah.
And then Denny Hamlin just, like, turned Kyle around. It was kind of funny. I'm like, what the hell is happening? So stage one was a bit chaotic, to say the least.
It was a doozy.
It was a fucking doozy. But, and then with the stage break, like literally they're going to the restart, and then they've crossed the line, and they're like, stage one over. I'm like, what? So,
nice.
That was the stage finish. I'm like, oh, good job. But I was kind of thinking, what if, like, Cindric, like, jumped the restart and passed Ruddock? Would Cindric win then?
I wouldn't think so.
I mean, but he crossed the line first.
But he jumped.
Yeah, but, I mean, he crossed the line first and restart.
You would think that they would give him some type of penalty for that.
Would they?
I don't know. It is NASCAR.
I was just like, yeah, I was going to say, it is NASCAR. Who knows? You know, they could just be like, oh, that's fine. He's the winner.
He's the winner.
He wins the whole thing. You can just go home. Anyways.
Wait.
Stage one.
That would be the first time. Sorry.
No, never mind. No, you go. You want to go so bad?
No.
I just get so... Okay. You want to go so bad? Right. You want to flip me off when I'm talking about stage one?
Just do it. Just go.
I mean, nothing really exciting happened. Just Byron won stage one. That's all I was going to produce. Yeah. That's all I was going to say.
That's all I was going to produce.
Well, yeah, because I'm not like Tony Stewart's lake tenderer. Tender. Tendee or what? I don't know. Alright, stage two. What happened there? 12 got into the 6, and then the Kyle Larson takes out Brian Blaney and spins, and then he has to go pit for some tires. And then stage two, Tyler Reddick. So, good job, stage two. You know, kind of just slow. You know, going through the fuel strats of some people doing 2 stops or 3 stops.
It's already been a theme this year, hasn't it? Stage two's kind of suck.
Stage two's just kind of meh. Yeah. They're just going through the race. You know, I didn't mind it. I was just like, okay, you know, we gotta make some laps. It's better than chaos in stage one. So I'm like, okay.
Sure. Just...
That was such a weird pause break. I thought you were gonna say something, so I didn't want
to. I literally just said sure.
Fine. I thought you were gonna say something after. I'm like, oh, you know, Brian's got a good point to make, so I'm gonna be quiet. And I'm like, oh,
when
man.
Do I ever?
Man, we're never doing a podcast at 1 o'clock. It's so off. So weird. Anyways, yeah, stage two, just kind of, you know, did some laps. Doing some strats. Talked to Gunther for twice. So that was the 15 laps, you know, between the stages. So didn't miss a lot. And then stage three happened. That's where all the drama. So.
Good and bad.
What?
Good and bad drama.
Yeah. And so. Stage three starts out with some debris caution for dirt on the track. Yeah, we had a caution for some dirt, which, why, I don't know, like, I assume that a lot of the drivers were just, like, complaining about it and shit like that, but, like, it's fucking dirt. Are we really, like, throwing caution for some dirt? You know, if they want to
race in dirt.
Like, if they want to cut that corner off that much and put dirt on the track, sucks to suck. You gotta deal with that dirt now. I don't know. Maybe I'm being too harsh on the boys of NASCAR. But, like, I don't know. If you're gonna put dirt on the track, just, you know, deal with it. I shouldn't have to wait. Because they're like, oh, they do on the track. Oh, Denny Hamlin spin. We
we gotta throw the caution because they do it on the track.
I don't know. Just don't miss a turn. If you do, well, sucks to suck, you know?
Right.
You're gonna get in the dirt. Don't spin, buddy. So, we had a debris caution for some dirt, so gotta love that, you know? Too long without the caution, they're like, no stage breaks. What are we gonna do? Dirt caution. So, that's why we got the caution right there. Because they're like, we gotta throw it for something. Their hands were getting shaky. They're like, oh my god, we haven't pressed the button so long. What are we gonna do? Dirt. Oh,
there's a pebble on the track.
Smack that button. Boom. Alright. And then we had, after the dirt caution, then we had a really good battle between Reddick and Byron with like 20 or so to go. That was like really like clean, good race. I'm like, wow, that's actually pretty good racing. And even Clint's like, that's good racing right there. So I knew I was right. I was right in line with Cliff Boyer's line of thinking. So I knew I was in the right place. I was like, yeah, me and Clint's thinking the same. I know them. We're right in the same place. But no, it was actually pretty good racing between them. Crossovers and stuff, and they're not bumping the shit out of each other, which was kind of weird. I'm like, whoa, we're actually like making passes without contact. What is this? Are we actually like growing into like not a shit show all the time? And it was just like, wow. I almost cried a little bit. Almost cried as much as Kurt did in the last lap. Such an unnecessary shot, but I had to make a joke. it was pretty good racing. It was like awesome. I was like, wow, we can actually race clean. And boy, I would swallow that fucking thought in like 20 laps. I didn't think I would. But then they pulled it out somehow. So, Kyle Larson broke a toe link, so he was just kind of crawling, like crab walking all over the place. So then he had to go pit. And then we were gonna have some fuel mileage strategy. Like we were listening to Bowman's radio. They were like, you're gonna be like five laps short. I'm like, oh, is he gonna save enough? And then freaking Tyler Reddick was a lap short, so he was kind of like, you know, managing the gap. Then Byron was like close on fuel too, but then Suarez somehow could make it. I don't get how, like, so it must, they just must have took different fuel loads, because like I hadn't, because how, like, they all pit on the same like lap and shit like that, and then Suarez is good and Bowman's like five. I'm like, what? So they took all different fuel loads and stuff, and you can obviously tell when Bowman was like half throttle and like Austin Dillon was catching up pretty fast. So I'm like, oh, is he gonna make it? But then Suarez was full blown and bumping his teammate out the way to get through. I'm like, oh, is Suarez gonna make it? Or kind of run these guys out of gas? So it was shaping up to be an interesting finish. I'm like, oh, we're gonna have something different. You know, this is gonna be a fuel mileage race. It's gonna be awesome. We had some good racing early on. This is gonna be a great race. So I'm just like, yeah, I'm shaping up. Getting ready. I'm like, oh, it's time, boys. It's time. We're gonna have a great natural finish, you know, no stage breaks. I'm like, wow, look at the strategy right here. Look at this. This is what we've been waiting for. And then Brad Keselowski stops in the fucking grass and NASCAR's just like, throw it out. And they threw it out. And I was just like,
yeah, they did.
I put my hands on my face and my head in my hands, whatever. I said words, but yeah. I put my head in my hands and I was just like, no. No, it's shaping up to be so interesting. And we're gonna see who can make it and stuff. But then after the yellow, everyone can fucking make it. So I'm like, oh great, here we go. Time for some shit showness. And oh boy, we got it. So, after the restart, we had some craziness into turn one. You know, you're gonna. I just want to say something. But, so,
With the turn one, I think we got to go to, like, we got to start, like, somewhere else on the track. Because, like, you're just asking for trouble if you're asking for these, like, fucking maniacs to fucking restart, get through all the gears, and fucking slow down to 30 miles an hour in this, like, big-ass funnel. Like, you're just asking for trouble. Because these fucking maniacs, they're going to go fucking 7 wide. It's going to look awesome. But then we get the fucking bumper cars and shit show, and someone's going to turn around. So, I think NASCAR should look into starting, like, doing the research somewhere else. I don't know where that would be. Like, a better spot on the track. Because I think turn one up the hill is insane for stock cars. Like, other motorsports, like F1 or, you know, IndyCar or whatever. Like, you could do that turn one. But for stock cars, as we've seen with the Indy road course, it's just like, you're just asking for trouble with the first turn. It's just like a hard left or right hander. And it's like a giant funnel. And then you give these car, like, these guys, these, like, almost indestructible cars, which, like, you can beat and bang on. And you don't really, like, you know, bend in a fender or, like, lose a tire. So there's no, like, downside to it. You can just drive through someone, essentially. And we've seen that, like, 6 times in a row. It's just like, oh my god. So that was the first one. AJ turned Austin, and then I think Ross Chastain was backwards, which I want to say, he just sat backwards until, the safety car came out. Oh my god. The tow truck came out.
Oh, okay.
And then...
was it safety car? What?
Yeah, he just sat on the track until, like, the tow truck came out, and then he fucking fired it right up, so... I kind of want to say, like, I don't like that as well for guys just, like, sitting on track, just getting the caution, and immediately when they get it, they just, like, go on like nothing happened. Like, if they're legitimately trying to start their car and stuff like that, like, fire it up. Like, that's the one thing. And NASCAR should have telemetry on that. I mean, they do, but they'll probably never look at it. Like, just to look at that, to make sure they're actually trying, instead of just sitting there with, like, their arms crossed, and then just, like, waiting until the truck comes, and then they're like, okay, start up a car, oh, go to caution, okay, now my car's flying. Like, I don't know, it just irritates me that, yeah, I just think it's silly and stupid. Like, I know people have done way worse for, like, a caution, like, potentially spun, or, you know, all the time in mid-2000s, we'd see a fucking water bottle, or, like, a piece of foam pad that'd be thrown out, so, I don't know, it just sucks that people are trying to get a yellow like that, especially since we got a penalty a few weeks ago by a driver for manipulating the race. I think that's also somewhat manipulating. Technically, you know, just sitting there waiting for the yellow, and then boop, you get it. So, I just think it's interesting. And then we had another debris caution with, like, 4 to go. And I'm just like, oh my god, no. I kind of wanted to end at this point. I'm just like, I don't even want to finish this race, because then I just know we're going to get in the turn one, and some dude's going to get turned around. And he's gonna get all mad, and then we're gonna have a shit show and banged around and shit like that. Then we had Blaney throwing some debris down, so we had another fucking yellow, and some more overtime. And then, you know, before the white flag, before Reddick was in the white flag, we had another overtime restart where Priest got turned around, and there was like 15 cars involved in the wall and stuff like that, and. You know, Brennick was in turn, like, I think he was in the stadium section, so he wasn't, like, close to the white flag, but he was, like, getting towards the end, and I'm like, couldn't just, like, finish that last lap. No, we didn't. Let's get another overtime restart. And then, you know, Gunther had a sick Gene joke where he's like, I don't have to call Gene this week. So that made it a little bit better. And then we had another debris yellow. I'm like, oh my god, this race is never gonna end. I was like, I almost shut it off. Like, I was so close. I'm like, oh, I came this far, I have to finish. LOL. That could be no contexted pretty easily. And then finally, thank god, we took the white flag. I'm like, oh, I was praying that nothing happens to Reddick. I'm like, I hope he doesn't, like, run out of fuel or, like, something happens in the car or something. I was just hoping. I'm like, please, Reddick, just win. He was so deserving. And I was just like, after the 7 fucking overtimes or whatever it was, and he doesn't win this race, I would be so livid. I'm not even that huge of a Tyler Reddick fan, but I would just be so pissed if someone else won. Like, even if it was Bowman or Bubba that won, I would have been so pissed. I would have been, like, undeserved. Fucking Mickey Mouse champ. Like, what is that? But, thankfully, Reddick took the win. Kurt Busch had a nice call at the end. You can tell he's getting really emotional seeing that 45 car. Just sucks that he's not in the car right now. You know he wants to be, but good to see, you know, Kurt still supporting, and the 180 Kurt has done in, like, public perception in the last 10 years is just insane. It really shows you, like, you can change and shit like that. Like, it's never too late. Stuff like that. And Kurt is, you know, everyone's rooting for Kurt. I mean, there's a few people that's like, announcers should be impartial. I think, like, Mike Joy and Clint should be, but I don't think, like, the guest broadcasters, like, let them just show some emotion so we don't have every dead call or, like, fucking Jeff Gordon just be like, Tyler Reddick won or something. Like, let's have a little bit of emotion in the booth. Like, Mike Joy is obviously a professional, something. Clint's there. He plays dress up and has a mic shoved in his face. But, you know, let Kurt call that final lap, you know. That was his car last year. Let him show that emotion. I think the guest something with the guest broadcasters, they should show. You know, because it's, I don't know, it's a, like, emotional sport, man, you know. Get in your feels, you see a car win, a guy deserving of the win. And it's like your car that you got from last year. It's just like, it's cool to see. So I'm glad they let Kurt, you know, share his emotions out loud. And also Mike Joy defending him on Twitter with some other call. Like, because we've also had some other family members in the booth kind of call, like, either their son or their brother home for their win. So I think that's kind of cool that NASCAR does that. Because it's emotional for those guys, you know. You know, seeing their family win, or, you know, racing family and stuff like that. So it's cool that Kurt got there. And kind of a little sad, the call, but I know he's definitely supporting 2311. He was like, that's my boy, when he won. So that was cool to see. And I'm glad that Denny Hamlin essentially said that he has, like, unlimited contract with 2311. So it's cool to see. But anyways, after all that, I think the first 90% before the Brad getting stuck in the grass fucking caution, this race would have been like an 85 or 90. There's like
definitely.
There were some really good parts to it, like between, like, some really good battles, especially between Reddick and Byron, and then, like, Chastain was poking around and Bowman was up. So it was like a really good, like, it would look really good, like, picturesque-wise. I was like, oh, okay, this looks, like, good. And then the cars seemed like they raced a lot better on the road courses. Like, it seemed like they could get way closer and they could actually battle. So that's something good to see. That's a positive. So the package really excelled as well. So I was like, oh, this is going to be an excellent race, you know. The stage breaks changed the strategy. A lot of people were on two stops. Reddick was so fast that he did 3 stops and still passed all the fields, so the 45 car was on rails all day. He very deserving of the winner. I mean, Byron was up there as well, but he was not as fast as 45. But yeah, it was a very good race. Very enjoyed that first 90%. And then the Brad caution happened, and then the race went to like negative 15. Because like all the overtimes and stuff, I think it's a little bit like, I don't fault the drivers a lot, because they're kind of in a tough box, because you're going to get a restart with less than 10 to go, and you have this huge opportunity to just fucking dive bomb and just gain like 15 spots through that turn one. I think we should start like the restarts somewhere else than that turn one, because it's just like you give the drivers like that edge, and of course they're going to take it, because like they have sponsors to run for and teams and points and shit like that. So if the opportunity is there, they're definitely going to take it. And then guys have to go and block like that inside, like the guys have to go block that inside move, because you know they don't want to get fucking turned. So then they get driven through, and then we just get this accordion effect. And whoever like tries to make the turn is just like, if you're not like the first two cars, well, good luck. You know, hope you can get past, bud. As we've seen, Truex got wrecked, and Suarez, and stuff like that. So it's just like, I don't know, it leaves a bad taste in your mouth, but it's just kind of like, I don't know, what could you do? You know, do you go with only one overtime? Like, do you just give one attempt? It's like, okay, we tried. Do you limit that, like, one or two? Or do you go to the single file starts? Would that be any better in this case? Or would people just still go in the inside and we still kind of see the funneling effect?
It would probably be like a nose to the rear situation. So,
it's just, I don't even know what you do. It's just the only thing I can think of.
The only viable option would be letting them get up turn one and then releasing them into 2, 3, and 4.
But then
even that's like, that's the S's. It's,
I don't think you can release them in the S's, though. Because I think that puts
you can
a little super bad spot.
Yeah.
But then you can't put them loose in 11, because it's essentially turn one, but like mini turn one.
It is literally turn one, yeah. And then if you do it in 19, then 20 is just a sharp left-hander.
Like, the only real thing I can think is, like, after turn 11 and through the stadium section with those slow-ass corners. That's the only place I can think they can release them that is not turn 1. But I think...
So, like, post-turn 12?
Yeah. Because I think, anyhow, like, even with those slow corners, they're going to be so bunched up that when they get into turn 1, it's going to be essentially the same thing. Like, 90% of what we have now. Because they're gonna, like, because of slow corners, it's kind of like hard to get away. So they're going to be all bunched up, and the turn one happens, and they're going to be fucking dive bombing and shit like that. So just, I don't know. I don't know what you do. It's, I don't know where to release them. That's a good point. That's like, yeah, they won't die. I'm like, let me look up. Let me look up a track map. Like, let's see. Like, I don't know. Like, so turn one, you know, can't do it there. And then turn through the S's, and then turn 11. And then you can't release them after turn 11, get that huge straightaway. It's a 12, because that's a sharp left-hander. Like, do we release them? I don't know. I don't really see a more viable option.
There's really not.
So it's just like, the worst part is it's probably turn 1 would be the less heinous crime, because turn 11 is so much like further. Like, it's a longer backstretch. So if you did it after 11, like, it would probably be even worse through 12. I don't know. It's just like, I just hate seeing such a good race just because of some overtimes and stuff like that, like, get ruined, essentially. Because this was such, it was like, so close to a good race, because we had a natural race with the state, like, we could still do the stage points, we don't have to stop for that, and we could give the points away, and people were, like, strategizing towards that, and there were so many people on different strategies, like the two-stop or the three-stop, you know, there's some people on three-stop, you know, that can make it all the way, and then there was, like, the Bowmans of the world that were short, and they had to really save, and you've seen that, like, he was going way slower than the other guys, so it was, like, so close to, like, something interesting happen. And then we had the caution, which was Brad, like, in the middle of the grass. It's just like, ugh. It was so close to there. But, yeah, that was Coda. I probably, if it would have just been the first 60 laps or whatever, probably would have been, like, 85 or 90. But it gets down a peg because of kind of the shit showness, which can't even really, like, super blame the drivers. Like, there's obviously some that are, like, way, way more aggressive than other people. Like, Ross Chastain, you know, is going to dive down there if possible. But, and then just other people get used up. And, you know, good top 5 days turned into 26 pretty fast. But, yeah. That was Coda. Yeah. I thought the racing action during the race and the strategy. I really love the no stage caution. I hope, can we do that every fucking week, please? That would be awesome.
I really, really like it for road courses, just because it's a full flow at that point.
Yeah, it doesn't,
like, it's supposed to be.
Yeah, it's not just like, oh, they pit on like four or whatever. So then, yeah, like, think of making, like, through that, it actually causes strat, like, do we go for stage points here, or do we, like, go for the race? Like, it's way more different than, like, then we would just head the stage breaks, and because when you pit, you don't know when you're going to get that yellow. You could be entering pits, and then that yellow comes out, or, like, you know, something like that. Something crazy strategy get thrown in. So it's kind of like a little bit of breath of fresh air right there. But yeah, I'm going to rate it a 70. I think still overall is a pretty good race. Probably would have been the highest race, without the overtime stuff, but I'm going to rate it a 70. Still pretty good. Look, the package looks good. So we'll see at other short tracks and road courses how it, develops, but so far so good.
Until the overtime came, the whole, well, I shouldn't even just say the overtime, before all of those cautions happened in, like, the last 30 laps, not even 30, it was like 15 laps. Before all that happened, I would have said that this was easily the best road course that I've seen since we started the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, I genuinely enjoyed watching the race, even though I didn't have any sound, because thanks, NASCAR. It was genuinely enjoyable. Cars were slamming into each other in turn one, which, that is kind of where I pulled my score back a little bit as well. And then, obviously, the last few laps, but all in all, with how much I enjoyed the race, I'm still going to give it a good 75. It was very enjoyable getting to hear Gunther in the booth after the fact for like 5 seconds was nice.
Yeah.
Kurt's call out. We had a new winner again, so it's just, yeah. We didn't have like William Byron going for number three this week. So, yeah, it was a really good race. I was very happy with it.
Yep. So, we're going to Richmond. It's going to be a totally different scenario from what we had this week. It's going to be some more strategy, but not going to be as much, or it might be. So we'll see what happens. And also, I won the Road Ringers bet. Jensen beat Kimmy. So we'll take that. Another dub.
Partially due to Kimmy and Brad getting into it, but
But
it happens.
Do you have a pick this week for Richmond, Brian? Or
yeah, I do have a pick. I'm rather disappointed that this was the first person that came to mind a few days ago, and I'm like, I feel like I should pick him, but at the same time, I'm regretting it now. I'm just going to go with it. Joey Logano.
Ooh, a little JL action.
Yeah.
Is this your first? No.
Mr. Toupee. This is my first time picking Logano. I'm pretty sure. I don't think I picked him last year.
I was going to say, I think you might have picked him once before. I was going to say it's definitely either zero or once before.
Yeah. Well, I think our first... I don't know. Oh, no, I did. I picked him for Martinsville last year.
God. Oof. I know it was definitely, like, very few times.
Yeah.
Oof, this sucks, because you just hate Logano. So, like, you want him to do well for the point stuff, but then you're like, God, I hate
you. yeah.
Damn. I'm going to take old Kevy Wevy Harvick. I think he's going to...
It's going to be a good one.
He's going to repeat at Richmond, so we're going to take that, and we'll see what happens.
That was my, oddly enough, my second pick.
Yeah, if you weren't...
kept going back and forth between him and Gano.
See, if you were going to pick him, then I was going to pick another... SHR driver, I was going to pick Eric. No, I'm kidding. I was going to pick...
Eric Amarola.
I was going to pick Chase Briscoe. I don't know.
Okay.
Just have a feeling this week maybe SHR cars will be in the top 10 and 25th and 26th, so... You know, improve me week for the billboard and bacon money cars.
Yeah. Yeah, I was between three drivers. It was either Logano, Harvick, or Kyle Busch. I couldn't think who, and then I was just like, eh, Logano, sure.
Ew.
Yeah, I know.
Gross. But anyways, guys, thank you for listening for another episode of Racing Bros Podcast. This has been your host, Zach, and co-host, Brian. We're never gonna do another fucking
1 o'clock.
No,
we're
never. It's so weird.
Yeah, it was very weird.
Yeah. So I'm gonna take a poop and go get my clothes out the dryer. So take care, y'all.
Adios.